Edward Rushton was the radical, campaigning, blind poet of Liverpool. His life spanned the 18th and 19th centuries at the time of the slave trade, of revolution, and of social upheaval. Forgotten Hero, written by Bill Hunter and narrated by George Sefton, is his story.
Chapter 7. The Apologists, the Opportunist, and the Fighters. The specious and abhorrent arguments justifying those who profited from the slave trade and which Rushton castigated continue up to the present day. They are to be found, for example, in a work published in 1957 and backed by the Liverpool Council. Not only that, but the book was given a fervent welcome by Alderman John Braddock, the Labour leader, who wrote the preface. The work is History of Liverpool, written by Liverpool's chief librarian of the time, George Chandler, and was published on the 725th anniversary of Liverpool. In this thick book, by an author who had access to all the town's records, there are three passing references to slavery, plus the following bland comments on the triangular trade.
Slaves were not, of course, brought to Liverpool in great numbers, as the Liverpool slave trade was only one part of a triangular commercial operation. From Liverpool were exported Manchester cottons and Midland industrial products to Africa, where they were exchanged for slaves. The slaves were then taken to the West Indies and America and were exchanged for sugar and tobacco, which were brought back to Liverpool. Liverpool's supremacy in the slave trade was not, therefore, due to any distinctive moral failing in her merchants, but to worldwide economic needs, which she did not create, but which she was, because of her geographical situation and initiative, particularly well suited to serve. Africa was hungry for the industrial goods created in England as a result of the Industrial Revolution. The New World needed manual workers available in Africa, while England hungered for sugar and tobacco from the New World. In the long run, the triangular operation based on Liverpool was to bring benefits, not least to the transplanted slaves, whose descendants have subsequently achieved in the New World standards of education and civilization far ahead of their compatriots whom they left behind.
And this was written in 1957, when Lynch Law and the Ku Klux Klan existed in the US, and even before the great movement for civil rights there. Chandler seems to have been a true descendant of Voltaire's hero in Candide, Dr. Pangloss. In his scandalous comments on the slave trade, he expresses the Panglossian belief that everything is for the best in the best of possible worlds, as also when he discusses the conditions of the poor in the past, he complacently tells us,
"Conditions of the poor before records, which the modern poor would describe as squalid and barbarous conditions, were historically inevitable, for even the rich lived, in early centuries of Liverpool's history, in conditions of great privation compared to modern times."
Otobar Kuguano knew the reality of slavery and the slave trade. He bore the marks of it. He had been kidnapped when he was about 13, and amid the rattling of chains, the crack of whips, and the groans and cries of his fellow captives, was put on board a ship that carried him to Grenada. Kuguano was brought to England by his owner at the end of 1772 and set free. In 1786, he published his Thoughts and Sentiments on the Evil and Wicked Traffic of the Slavery and Commerce of the Human Species. He wrote of men of eminence and power whose wealth was built in the slave trade, and of the British legislature which encouraged it.
"Is it not strange to think that they who ought to be considered as the most learned and civilized people in the world, that they should carry on a traffic of the most barbarous cruelty and injustice, and that many are become so dissolute as to think slavery, robbery and murder no crime?"
Peter Fryer tells us that Kuguano and fellow author Oladao Equiano systematically and trenchantly demolished the arguments in defence of slavery, that Africans thought it no crime to sell their own wives and children, that slavery had divine sanction, that Africans were, by nature and complexion, peculiarly suited to slavery, that black slaves in the Caribbean were better off than the European poor. Equiano, who later became familiar to readers of the Public Advertiser, one of London's most widely circulated newspapers, was to demand, "Can any man less ferocious than a tiger or a wolf attempt to justify the cruelties inflicted on the Negroes in the West Indies?" He was a leader in the London African community and, like Kugwano, a collaborator with Granville Sharp in the campaign for abolition. He also became a member of the London Corresponding Society, the strongest radical working class organisation in the 1790s, and helped to recruit for it in his speaking tours on abolition.